The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, this is Bruce Valanche. Remember on Hollywood Squares, the guy to the left of Whoopi, if that's possible? I'm listening to John Orlando on the PVD cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 267. I hope you're doing well out there, and I want to thank you for tuning in to this episode. And before I talk about this episode, I'd like to comment on some cool news that happened to yours truly and to the PVD cast last week. I got the opportunity to talk to a gentleman by the name of Mick Manhattan, who runs a podcasting channel called The Scene Snobs. And you can check them out online, thescenesnobs.com, or just look for them on Facebook. They have a pretty good Facebook presence. Again, just search for The Scene Snobs. They have some great podcasts, Crossing the Streams with Jeff Dwoskin, The Fandom Effect, The BTB Podcast, The Scene Snobs Podcast, The Showcase. The Three Geeks are over there now. And you can add the PVD cast as well. I really appreciate the opportunity. Basically, every Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, there's going to be a live broadcast of this week's PVD cast through the Scene Snobs. Don't worry, I'm still doing it through the PVD cast Facebook page on Monday nights at 8 as well. But, you know, there's another opportunity for you. If you miss it on Monday, you can check it out on Tuesday. And I really do appreciate Mick giving me the opportunity to not only have the PVD cast, but actually Matt Talk is going to start airing on Saturdays as well. So, but you know what? Let's stick to the PVD cast in this episode because my guest making his return once again is Mr. Luke Landry. And for those folks that are familiar with this podcast, you know Luke and I love to talk about hockey. And since the NHL season just started, it started last night, January 13th, we sat down and we talked about what to expect this season. We recorded it last Thursday, and we talk about all of the changes to the NHL season that's happening in 2021. There's going to be a 56-game schedule. It's all going to be within your own division to help mitigate COVID exposure. There's a new division, all right, the North, and there's just tons of changes, and we're going to go through and talk about all of them. So it's going to be pretty darn insightful for you hockey fans. And so, you know, with that, I'm just going to go ahead and talk about World's Greatest Comics, and then we'll get right on into the episode. And this episode, like every episode, is brought to you by World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And they have everything that you need for your comic book fandom. They've got single issues, they've got graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, collectibles, posters, back issues. They have a great pull system so that you never will miss a single issue of your favorite comic. So what you need to do is you need to stop on over to the store and say hi to Jeff and the fine folks over there. But if you're not in the Central Ohio area, you can check them out online. Just go to wgcomics.com or find them on Facebook. Just search for @WGComics. And do me a favor, no matter how you interact with the fine folks at World's Greatest, please let them know that you heard about the store from me right here on the PVD cast. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, Luke Landry joins me to give an NHL preview for 2021. All right, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD cast where I am joined by Mr. Luke Landry. Luke, how you doing?
I am doing well. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. And we are both excited because the NHL season is starting next week. We are actually recording this episode on Thursday, January 7th. But By the time it drops, we'll have one night of hockey action already in the books. And, you know, it's kind of funny because several of the things we chatted about the last time, Luke, you were on, which I believe was the beginning of October, some of those things have come true. So we must be pretty darn perceptive, I guess, huh?
Yeah, it makes us look good. That's great. People are actually going to think we know what we're talking about. It's perfect.
Very well said. Very well said. Well, let's just dive on into it. Let's get it started. I think probably the best idea that they've come up with for this new season is something that you and I argued, not really argued, but debated back and forth, and that is the actual amount of games that are going to be played. Has been determined that 56 games will be the limit. And Luke, I think you shared some concerns about the original plan of doing somewhere around a full schedule, like 80, 82 games or whatnot.
Yeah, I think maybe if they've been able to get everything going, I don't know, maybe late November or something like that, maybe we would have had that 82-game schedule. But even then, I mean, when you look at it, 56 games, and they should be ending the season around the beginning of May. So it's still a lot of games and very little time.
Yeah, and I think that the way in which they're putting folks together, so to speak, or putting teams together, so to speak, I think it's going to lead to what seems to be a quicker schedule, because as it is right now, they're keeping things kind of within their own divisions. And so each team will play their various different opponents within their division. And the way, I'll just use an example, I'll pick a team real quick. I'll pick Montreal, Luke. They would play, Montreal will probably go and play, say, Boston for two nights in Boston, and then return to Montreal and play Boston maybe two nights. And so kind of creating a little bit of like a mini bubble, I guess, is the best way to describe it.
Yeah, I think, especially they decided to make they just renamed them with sponsors, and I can't remember them, but they have this Northern Division. So all the Canadian teams are going to be in the same division. So I think with that in mind, they're trying to avoid travel. So once you're in Vancouver, well, you're going to stay in Vancouver for a couple of nights, maybe two, play two games in Vancouver. Maybe I'd have to check the schedule, but two, three games, and then you're off to somewhere else. And then whoever visits you, well, you're going to be playing two games against them in Montreal. So I think it's a good way to try to limit contact everywhere, and hopefully it'll bring some new confrontations, some new rivalries in the mix too. That could be fun.
Yeah, and actually rekindle some of the old ones as well.
Yeah, because I mean, when you look at it, in your own division, you'll play, I think it's four times. They got them now four, six times where you'll play against your division rivals, and like the rest of the league, you'll play against them twice. So it's sometimes it'll just kill the rivalry because one of the two teams just isn't up to par to compete. Mm-hmm. And some of the times, well, it'll give you good stuff like we've had between Boston and Montreal, or even Pittsburgh and Philly.
Yeah, right. Now, you just mentioned real quick, and maybe, you know, this just happened and I did not see it, as I just was looking a little bit before we started recording, looking at some of the news. So they're going to rename the divisions. Is that what you said? They're going to kind of get away from the North, the Central, the East, and the West division?
Yeah, well, I think they're keeping like that part of the title, but they added like the Honda East Division or something like that. I can't remember the title. Yeah. I mean, they're going all out on sponsorships this year. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be the case for every team, but I know quite a few of them are going to have company logos on their helmets. And I think they're not close to the possibility of maybe having company logos, small company logos on the shirt. Nothing like what we see in Europe. You know, just a little couple of logos here and there, just to try to boost up their treasury, because they're in deep. I mean, like most professional sports leagues, but money wise, it's not looking good.
You know what? I'll be honest. I'm going to defer to you on that because I didn't really look at the numbers. How was the past season? You know, when we're looking at dollars and cents, do you have any idea? Have you read anything?
What I read today, I mean, this comes from a player agent. He's the one who was being interviewed in the article. And for the gap, because right now with the whole escrow thing and revenue sharing, whatever the league doesn't make up, the players should compensate to a certain point. And he's talking about players having to pay the NHL millions of dollars for a number of years until they get up to par. So, yeah. So, I mean, that explains why they're starting to think, because it used to be a no-go. I mean, if you made the shirt, then yeah, your logo can be on the shirt. If you made the helmet, then your logo can be on the helmet. But otherwise, I mean, you wouldn't have AT&T on a player's helmet. Now you might see that.
Well, I mean, I think that is a pretty smart idea if you're looking to make revenue, and it worked for years in the European League. So I don't see where that's a major problem. And I did read that is only going to be for this year so far.
It could be. I haven't seen that, but hopefully, I mean, not if it stays subtle, I have no issue with it. But if it gets to a point where there's some European leagues, it's the last one I saw. I think it was top Swiss league. It's just like you have to look like three times at the jersey to try to figure out what the player's name is. There's just so much stuff on it and huge bands, like a huge white band in the front of the helmet with the company name on it. And so, you know, a bit of it, I'm fine with it, you know, especially if it doesn't hike up ticket prices once we're allowed to go back into the arenas. But just like don't start putting all sorts of stuff. I mean, I find most of our shirts are good right now, and they look good, and just like keep them that way. Just please keep them that way.
yeah, exactly. All right, so let's talk a little bit about one of the things that I think, you know, we kind of got off on a tangent there for a moment, but from what I read, that there have been some issues with some teams scheduling home games, since we were talking about the schedule and about how teams may have to stay in an area for a while. I believe a few weeks ago, British Columbia, Quebec, and Ontario had not really agreed to allow home games because of the fear of coming from a different province to Ontario, for an example, might bring a new spike in COVID numbers or whatnot. In fact, even San Jose is under the gun to be able to have home games because Santa Clara County has a policy where right now with COVID, no contact sports. Luke, do you know if that agreement has come to pass for BC, Quebec, and Ontario to have home games, or is that still something that's being ironed out between local officials and the NHL?
I'd have to check again for Ontario. I'm not sure, but I know BC and Quebec cleared them last week, I think. Okay. And even in Quebec, as we were talking off air, we've just been reconfined. And it doesn't seem like it's going to affect that. I mean, I think the way that the NHL is setting up their bubbles has, health officials, you know, pretty satisfied with the measures they're taking. The last one I heard in Canada that still wasn't clear, and I haven't checked in the last few days, was Winnipeg. That's the only one that I heard that was kind of like on the ropes, and we're still not sure what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I think in Canada we're pretty good to go now.
Okay. Yeah. And I don't know if there's been an update with San Jose or not, because I've read where they were going to share a practice facility with Arizona, you know, and I think that hopefully will get squared away, because definitely I think the fans of San Jose want to see their Sharks back in action in San Jose.
Yeah. Yeah. And California is getting hit pretty hard. So I understand what's going on there, but it's interesting. I mean, even, junior league in Quebec started going early October, I think it was, and eventually they had to stop because, you know, they started falling into different red zones. So the teams that were in red zones could practice but couldn't play anymore, and you couldn't play against a team that was, say, in an orange zone. So they eventually, I think, they just stopped the season, and the Ontario Hockey League didn't even start. And what they were saying was kind of the same thing California, was like, well, okay, well, you can probably start playing, but there's no contact. So, being not just the physical game, but the fact that, you know, where do you draw the line for contact? You know, because if we're playing and we end up one-on-one, chances are we're going to get pretty close, right? So where do you draw the line?
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Let's talk about the other little piece of this puzzle is fans at the games. From what I've read, it's kind of being left up to local government in the cities to determine whether there will be fans at games or not. What do you think? Do you think we're going to have some fans in attendance? Will it still be absolutely no fans? Will they do like a 30% capacity type of ruling? What do you think, Luke?
I think it's the same as what they're saying. It'll be down to local governments to decide that. I mean, I know here in Montreal, they were looking at maybe towards the springtime, if possible, having like out of the, was it 22, 23,000 people they can have at the Bell Center, they try to have maybe 4,000 people in there. But I mean, again, like everywhere else on the planet, everything's spiking in COVID cases. So I don't know. And even they're still planning outdoor games. So I appreciate the effort, but at the same time, I'm kind of feeling like this might not happen, and maybe just, you know, concentrate on what you can do right now. And you know that you can do up until the end of the season and, you know, maybe for the playoffs, once summer rolls around, maybe then we can start talking about having fans back in the building.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Has there been any talk about vaccinations for the NHL?
Last I read, in Quebec anyways, they were pretty much treated like the rest of the population. So in their case, they're healthy. Most of them aren't prone to disease or illnesses. So they're not, right now, they're not thinking about having them being vaccinated anytime early. I don't know if the NHL can have any push on that, but right now it's just like they're looking to be among the last to be vaccinated, just like me and the rest of my family. So,
but I don't think Bettman has said how they're going to roll that out, have they? Or is that another thing that they're leaving up to local officials to determine? I assume.
I haven't heard much about the NHL on that. I think, is it the NBA that they're, the NBA, I think, are pushing a bit more for the whole vaccination thing.
Yes.
I haven't heard anything about the NHL on that.
Okay, same here. And I knew that there was some rumblings from the NBA about that. I think that I probably agree with you. I feel like there's a long list of people in this world that should get that vaccine before me. I am healthy, you know, and I don't know if you feel that same way, but I think doctors and nurses and all the people on the front lines, they need to go first.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's kind of like the running gag we've had this week where because we're an audio studio, we fall into the telecommunications section, and that's considered essential. And we're looking at each other like, I'm not an essential worker. Yeah, I'm not out there on the front lines. I'm not helping people, you know, in the hospitals. I'm not a police officer. I'm not a firefighter. I'm not a paramedic. It's like, am I really that essential? The people who need it should get it. And, you know, and once they're fine and it's over with and they get, because everything seems to be done by like double doses.
Yeah.
So once all of those people are safe, then, you know, I'm done with it. But, I don't see that happening anytime soon anyways.
Yeah, I think that there's obviously going to be some snags, or has been some snags, I should say, you know, in the rollout to this. All right, well, let's keep on talking about the NHL here with some of the other changes. One of the changes that they mentioned that I read about was the status of rookie contracts. It used to be where after 10 games, then the rookie's contract would kick in. And now this year, they're going to kind of lower things to 7 games. Do you think that's going to impact decisions that are made in the front office, Luke, as to whether to keep a rookie or to send them back to their respective junior team or whatnot?
I don't think so. I always saw that more as a money thing, where you're just managing your budget. Because honestly, well, I mean, this year is going to be a bit exceptional because there's no preseason. But usually, I mean, there's so many preseason games and then you get an extra 10 games. I mean, honestly, when the season starts, you pretty much have an idea if you're going to keep that kid around or not. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's an advantage for the players, obviously, because you have that many more chances of actually making the team. But one thing I would like that they have changed is Because the problem with that is if you make the cut, you have to make the cut on the NHL team. You can't make the cut for the AHL team.
Correct.
I always thought that was like a problem, because if you think that he's that close to being able to compete in professional league, like the NHL, well, then he should be able to go and get the rest of his education in the American Hockey League. So, you know, having a player that's so close and then sending him back to the juniors, I figure, like, if you're that close, you don't need to learn that much from the juniors, then maybe you should go play with men and learn how it is, and learn how it is to face somebody who's 30 years old and 200 pounds and, you know, play against those guys. And that'll make you even more ready for the NHL afterwards. That's one thing that I really hope that they change soon.
It's funny that you mentioned the AHL, because my next note was that teams can now carry kind of practice squads, for lack of a better term, of 4 to 6 players. And these players would get their AHL salary and do not count towards the salary cap, which I think is something that we saw come playoff time here this past summer, was, you know, the expansion of these rosters, so that in case COVID hits and maybe a couple players can't play, you have the option to plug in some folks, which in past years hasn't necessarily been there all the time.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, you're getting more players into the bubble, so if you have injuries or whatnot, you don't have to call somebody up and wait like 10 or 14 days, depending on where you live, before they can actually join the team. Mm-hmm. So I think that's interesting. I mean, obviously, at the AHL level, you're going to be losing some good players, but at the same time, you're going to be getting that roster stability that you don't necessarily have usually. So I think coaches in the AHL are going to enjoy that, where you don't have to worry. It's like, oh crap, am I going to lose my top defenseman because one of the guys just got hurt in the big league? You know, you know you're going to have these guys, and these guys are going to play for you, and that shouldn't change too much. So that, for the AHL, I think is a very good thing. For the players who are going to be stuck on that second team, I mean, I guess, at least you're playing hockey and you're not at home. But I think that little bubble group, that's going to be – I think some players are going to be find that one pretty hard.
Well, let's keep on the track here of the minor leagues, because I found some notes, and I wanted to get your thoughts, Luke, on a couple of things here. So the AHL is not starting until February 5th. And as a matter of fact, there are 3 teams who are opting out of this season. They're not even going to begin operations. Charlotte, Milwaukee, and Springfield will be those 3 franchises, which has caused some of the NHL teams to kind of scramble and try to share farm teams in the AHL. How do you think that's going to impact some players if they are in Charlotte or Milwaukee or Springfield? Obviously, they're not getting as much ice time. Do you think that's going to be compounded and maybe hinder some folks' development when they're on a, you know, an AHL team that's being shared by 2 NHL franchises?
I don't know. I always sort of wondered about that, because I unless it's changed, like when Vegas came into the league, they didn't have much of a choice other than to share, because they didn't have an AHL affiliate.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, I think it sucks a bit more for guys who would normally be on like 3rd and 4th lines, because you're going to be dropped down to a lower league, which might not even be playing. But that's interesting. I didn't know like that 2-3 teams didn't want to go in the AHL this year.
Yes, and they have actually, even the AHL, followed the NHL's guidelines for organization. There's 5 total divisions for the AHL. They will also have a North division, consisting of the Canadian teams. But then when you look at the next level down, the ECHL, this is where I'm perplexed, and I could not find any reasoning. The ECHL has already started. They started December 11th with their season. And I'm scratching my head thinking, aren't you jumping the gun? Don't you have to wait for the bosses to start playing before you guys start playing?
Yeah, I know. That's one of those things. Like, it's all over the place. I mean, even the AHL, honestly, they could have started earlier if you're looking at it from that perspective, because those guys haven't played. They didn't have playoffs, so they didn't play this summer. So you might as well have those guys play. I don't know, man. It's all over the place. Again, like I said, the juniors in Quebec, they were playing, but in Ontario, they weren't.
Yeah. And I mean, the teams that have opted out of the ECHL is much larger than the AHL. In fact, 11 teams will not be playing this season. 2 more will be starting their season late in February, as they got the okay from the Board of Governors to delay their start. You know, I think the ECHL is a unique animal, and I'm just going to go down a tangent, if you will. I think at this point, I feel that the ECHL is so large that it should maybe be broken into two distinct organizations, you know, because they've absorbed so many teams, and they have teams on the West Coast, and they have teams on the East Coast, and I don't know. I feel like maybe the ECHL would be better to divide up and just be two separate hockey organizations. I don't know. Do you have an opinion on that, Luke, or no?
I guess like it used to be. I have to admit, I don't follow the ECHL as much. But, yeah, I mean, even the NHL, you know, you're getting to 31 teams. You're talking about, you're going to get Seattle in a year or two. Yes. So, I mean, 30 teams, 32 teams, that's a lot of stuff. Yeah, this article I was reading about the agent, he was talking about it's probably more likely that there's going to be a European division rather than another expansion within North America. So, I mean, I don't know to what extent these things can get big. I mean, would you rather have like a separate NHL running over there than the entire thing? And then, I mean, then there's the whole timesharing thing. You know, I mean, it's already hard enough if you're in the East trying to watch games in the West, but now you'd be missing games that are out in Europe. So I don't know to what extent they can actually make these things bigger.
You know, if there's a European division, I would think that would dilute the talent pool.
Yeah. Well, even at 32 teams, that's kind of my feeling with the whole thing. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, the sport has never been as good. I mean, it's never been as fast. It's never been as entertaining. But just imagine how much more it would be if you cut like six teams out of the mix.
Yeah.
So
I'm actually been somebody that said I would not mind if the league contracted a little bit personally.
Yeah, no, especially when year after year they're talking about finances, and you look at teams like the Florida Panthers, where it's like they can barely get 5,000 people in the arena. You kind of got to think, okay, well, is that really worth it, or should you either move the team or just like cut them off completely?
Yeah, the Florida Panthers is one of those teams I was talking about, and I also feel the same way about Arizona. I'm going to throw it out there too. They've been out there in the desert, and until the last couple of years, they haven't made a dime.
If you want to make money, a lot of money anyways, especially if you're not in the hockey market, you got to make the playoffs. So
right.
You can't make the playoffs, you're not in a favorable market, and you're going to have a hard time.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Luke for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They're a proud sponsor of the PVD Cast and the one-stop shop for all of your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, posters, back issues, and one world-class pull system. So check them out online at wgcomics.com or find them on Facebook. Just search for @WGComics. And better yet, if you're in the Central Ohio area, stop on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And let them know that you heard about the store from me, John Orlando, right here on the PVD Cast. Well, speaking of the playoffs, Luke, let's talk about the new format, which if you're listening to this podcast, you may have to pay very close attention because it gets a little tricky. I don't know. Am I just not that bright, Luke, or is it a little complicated this year?
Actually, I was looking forward for you to run that by me again.
Okay, here we go. From what I understand, we have obviously there are four new divisions, which I'm going to run those down here real quick. We have the Central Division, Tampa, Chicago, Detroit, Florida, Dallas, Nashville, Columbus, and Carolina. In the East Division, you have the Rangers, the Islanders, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Boston, Washington, Buffalo, and Pittsburgh. In the West, Minnesota, Colorado, LA, San Jose, Anaheim, Arizona, Vegas, and St. Louis. And then, of course, the North Division, Edmonton, Vancouver, Toronto, Calgary, Ottawa, Montreal, and Winnipeg. From what I have got, thanks to the Sporting News and ESPN.com, and I think that I have this mapped out correctly, but I don't know. Maybe I missed something. I don't know, because it's very confusing. So the top four teams in each division will advance to the playoffs. So I think that makes pretty easy sense there. It's going to be intra-divisional play in the first two rounds, with seed one taking on seed four, two versus three. Then when those four teams that advance are then seeded on a regular season points.
Yep.
So essentially, from what I gathered, we are getting rid of an Eastern Conference and a Western Conference. Where yeah, it's
for the sake of the bubbles.
Yes, for the sake of the bubbles. So we're getting into this kind of reseeding for the final four teams, which means that in theory, we could end up with instead of a West Coast team versus an East Coast team in the finals, we could end up with an East Coast versus East Coast team or West Coast versus West Coast team. What do you think about this concept for the playoffs this year?
I like it a lot better than what they had going over the last 4 years, where if you're at the top of your division, then you actually get a playoff spot. Because we've seen teams over the last few years that shouldn't make the playoffs, but actually get a top three spot just because they're at the top of their division, and it's a division that was struggling throughout the year.
Yeah.
So I enjoy this concept a lot more. I understand why they put it in there, but the only little mark I have on that is making your standings again according to the points that were earned during the season, just because I think like the North Division, I think it's going to be pretty tight. It's going to be a hard fought division compared to maybe the Central Division, where you have teams that are struggling a little more. So, I mean, I understand that you have to remake your playoff tree, but that's the only little beef that I have with it. And it's a minor beef. Honestly, I like what they did with this. And hopefully you get better teams through and through. Like you said, I mean, if you can get two top teams from the East that are going to give you a better show than having one in the East and one in the West and one that just, you know, is way too defensive or way too slow, or at least now you should be getting the best of the best.
I like it too, because I have not been a fan of the way that the playoffs have been done the last several years, especially with the idea that a lot of times with the brackets, you end up with a marquee matchup, a huge rivalry in the second round. You know, how many times was it that Pittsburgh got out of the first round, Washington got out of the first round, and then they play each other in the next round when that should be the finals for the East? I also, again, harken back even going back a little bit further, I also agree with you, Luke. I didn't like the idea of because you won the NHL South, you get a playoff spot when the NHL South was not a very strong division. I also like that if we're really focusing on building rivalries and renewing rivalries, what is a better way than to do that than having, you know, the New York Rangers and the New York Islanders end up in the Stanley Cup Finals? I mean, that's back to like old school NHL, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, it's, and again, I mean, you're going to be facing off against like the same seven or eight teams or so from division to division. So to me, it's only going to get better. You know, even if you end up having a rivalry between, I don't know, Toronto and Edmonton, but that's still going to be a solid rivalry if you get to see that in the playoffs as well. Honestly, I'm a lot more excited about this type of formula than I have been again the last one over the last few years. Just been they were better off when you just took the first top eight teams and those were your playoff teams.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What do you think is the weakest division in this new setup that they have?
I don't know. It's because there's certain.
I'll throw out mine, Luke.
Because yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I feel like the West is the biggest question mark for me, because I think you have so many teams that struggled last year and some of them had struggled the year before that I think grouping them together, I think the West is the one that really, to me, has too many question marks. And maybe those question marks will be erased in a few weeks. But, you know, L.A., San Jose, Minnesota, Anaheim, I think all of those teams have struggled and haven't been super strong. And I think that division might be the division that is weaker than the other three.
That's kind of the issue I have. Even somewhere in the Central Division, there's a couple of teams in there where you're like, oh man, you're going to get trampled if you're facing, Tampa Bay. over and over and over and over again. So, yeah, I mean, I've been looking a lot at the North Division, obviously, you know, being in Montreal. But, I mean, the only – I mean, we have two question mark teams, which are Winnipeg that have – I mean, they're still a good team, but they've had it rough over the last few years. They lost Jacob Trouba. And that whole Bufflin situation last year, that hurt him pretty bad. Mm-hmm. And then you have Ottawa, which is still rebuilding. I mean, they were able to go get Matt Murray. So, I mean, those are two teams, but they're still two teams to me. Like you said, I mean, they still look better than most of the California teams. So,
yeah. And you know what? Speaking of Ottawa, they picked up Derek Stepan not too long ago, a couple of days ago. So that's another.
Yeah, right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
There's another player that can make an impact up there for the Senators. And you know what? A couple other late additions that we probably could talk about here real quick, too, is Corey Perry's coming up to your neck of the woods playing for Montreal. What are your thoughts about Corey Perry joining the Canadiens?
I guess he's our Joe Thornton. He's been around. He's won the Cup. He had great playoffs last year. I mean, if there was one guy that you wanted to watch play in Dallas, it was him. So, I mean, he's going to bring some attitude. He's going to bring some grit to the team. And I think it fits in, especially this year, because they've gotten a bit bigger. They've gotten Joel Edmundson on the blue line, big, strong guy. They got Josh Anderson. They got Tyler Toffoli. So they've gotten bigger. So bringing in a guy like that that likes to get his nose dirty in front of the net and he'll play hard against the boards, and that's just like, you know, it's just some extra. And it's going to help Brendan Gallagher as well. So he's not going to be the only guy getting pushed and shoved and beaten up. So.
Well, and then the other big news, I believe, here from late last week, early this week, is Zdeno Chara leaving Boston and heading to Washington. I don't know how I feel about this. I'm going to be 100% honest. I feel like Chara has lost a step over the last few years. And for me, I don't think this is as big of a deal as some writers and sports analysts are making it. So what's your two cents worth on Chara leaving Boston for Washington?
I feel the same way that over the last few years you'd watch him play. And it's like, yeah, if you were a couple of inches shorter, I don't know if you'd still be playing. Mm-hmm. I think more of the whole idea behind it is that Boston didn't sign him and he's playing somewhere else, where you'd think that probably if Boston didn't want to sign him, he'd just retire. I find it's kind of odd. I mean, it's like a few years back when Daniel Alfredsson didn't sign with the Ottawa Senators. Like, no, man, I mean, that was your career. You always played down there. So I know you want to play an extra year and all of that. And at the same time, you know, maybe the team could have signed him for an extra year. Chara wasn't asking for that much money. So, you know, maybe they could have had him on there, sort of a big brother type figure. But it doesn't help their defensive core in Boston, too. I mean, they also lost to Torrey Krug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, they've gone from, you know, contender to, like, question mark team this year.
Yeah, indeed. One big question mark was, you know, coming into this season, the goaltending situation in Washington with Henrik Lundqvist and with Ilya Samsonov there. Unfortunately, King is not going to be around. He's having heart surgery. And, that's kind of a little bit shocking. I don't know if it shocked you, Luke, but I didn't anticipate that. I don't know that I've ever heard of any type of, quite frankly, any type of serious injury with Hendrick. But this certainly kind of caught me off guard, so to speak. What about you?
Yeah, a little bit. And it got me wondering, you know, if it was just, you know, something that they finally pinpoint what the problem was, and maybe it was affecting them over the last few years because he slowed down quite a bit. But I'm always surprised when you have athletes of that level who end up having heart issues. I forgot what his name was. He played, he passed out. He was sitting on the Dallas bench. And,
oh, was that Peverly?
Yeah, Peverly. That's it. So, you know, you're looking at this and you're at like the top, you're at the peak of what humans can be in terms of physical shape. And this sort of stuff happens, you know, you have these issues, and so it's to me, it always sort of hits hard where you're like, man, okay, you know, you're not even 40, and I mean, you've been in shape, in great shape your whole life, and then this happens. So it's I find it really sucks, especially for Henry, because I mean he's a fighter, you know, and and the last few years have been rough, and then you figure, okay, well, I'm going to have another go, last go with a new team, and then this happens. So
yeah, and I mean it puts a big question mark on that goaltending situation in Washington now. You know, do they just rely on the young kid, or do they go out there and try to find, you know, somebody else that's out there, maybe a veteran to help back up this kid and help get him, ready for the game and get him into the game, so to speak. So I guess some big question marks now down in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I'm double checking if I read that it was a possibility or if they actually signed him. But they were talking about maybe Craig Anderson stepping in.
Out of Ottawa, okay.
Yeah, because he didn't re-sign in Ottawa. They got Matt Murray instead. So I'm just wondering if that's something that I read that might happen or if it's something that actually did happen.
Okay. That would be a perfect fit for that young goaltender in D.C.
Yeah, exactly. So, you have a guy who's been around, and especially Anderson, you have a guy who's seen, you know, a ton of pucks in Ottawa over the last few years. So and has struggled with personal issues as well. Because a couple of years ago, I think his wife had cancer. So I mean, there was a lot of issues with that. So I mean, it would definitely be a good fit, a good teacher. That's for sure. Yeah.
All right. Well, Luke, just a few more questions here, and then we'll wrap things up. Which player do you think has the most pressure on them to win this year?
That's a good one, because there's so many changes that happened in the offseason this year, especially with regards to goaltenders and whatnot. I mean, the easy answer would be probably Stamkos. I mean, I know he won the cup, but he wasn't part of the team on the ice as much as he should have been. So I'd say maybe he's up there. Try to fight and win a cup again and actually be part of the success of the team. And I mean, he's going to have to pull a lot of weight because I think Kucherov's out for quite a while.
I'm going with Connor McDavid. I think that he's got the most pressure to win. I think that the expectation has been that he comes in and he is going to be the leader of that Oilers team and take them to the Stanley Cup. It hasn't happened, Luke. I don't know what the fans of Edmonton are feeling or thinking. I haven't read anything to indicate, you know, that they're unhappy, but you just got to figure that, you know, here's all the pomp and circumstances with this kid, you know, he's going to be the one. And just, it seems year after year, they just falter when the playoffs come around. So I feel he's got the most pressure on him to win.
Yeah. But at the same time, I mean, they haven't done that much in the off season to help with the issues that they had.
Oh, true.
Scoring is definitely not a problem between him and Draisaitl. I mean, it's like you don't even have to worry about those guys, those top six forwards. You just let them go and you're fine. But it's the back end that's been a problem. And even the goaltending, they haven't really addressed it. Whereas a team like Calgary saw that they've been struggling with goaltenders, tried a couple of different ones, saw Markstrom was on the market, had great playoffs, he's had a couple of good seasons, so they signed him up. You know, I think that's the kind of stuff I was looking for Edmonton to do, and they haven't really done it, and it just seems to happen over and over and over. You know, they trade away former number one round picks, and it's just, and they don't seem to get anything interesting in return. Or he has to win. He wants to win. I don't know how long he's going to want to stay in Edmonton if nothing moves. But at a certain point, I mean, you got to help. You got to help those guys in front there. I mean, there's no doubt you have talent on your forward lines. But, I mean, man, you got to put up something better in the back end.
Agreed. All right. Is it too early, Luke, to ask about Stanley Cup picks?
Yes. Especially the way that divisions are made, even a lot of people are talking about North Division, Toronto being on top. I have a hard time seeing that because they've been having so much trouble with chemistry. And I think chemistry is something that's going to go a long way this year because you're playing the same team. So creativity, chemistry, that's going to get you a lot farther than having like a ton of talented players in front. So I was looking at it and it's really hard to say, you know, I mean, I think Tampa's going to try to make a good run of it, I think Washington's going to probably try to hit it hard as well, because, I mean, their good players are getting older.
Mm-hmm.
You never know with the Islanders. I mean, as far as I know right now, they haven't re-signed Barzal.
That is correct.
So that's a huge pain if they can't get to either sign him or trade him. So that's a big hole right there. And you could have some teams that will surprise you. I mean, Buffalo, I was talking about it with a couple of buddies today. In Buffalo, it's like, well, on one hand, they didn't do much. But on the other hand, they went and got some good fitting players. So maybe they'll be able to surprise a bit. So I don't know, man. It's hard for me to try to pick a team. And especially last year in the playoffs, we had a couple of nice surprises. So if they're up and they can face the season strong, like the Vancouver Canucks, for example, I mean, if they go at it hard, I mean, maybe they'll be up there.
Yeah, you know what? I agree with you 110% on this one. I wrote it down. I wrote it on my notes. I was going to ask. I'm verklempt as to who to pick too. And I think that's good for this season, because I like a little uncertainty. And I think maybe in previous years, when you had the old system and the old divisions, you could probably count and go, well, this team will make it, this team will make it. You know, you had a better feel for it. Now that you've, you know, combined these new configurements, if you will, you don't know who to pick. Because I agree with you. You definitely, I think, you know, Vancouver and Calgary are going to be very strong out in the Northern Division. I think your Canadians have shown that, especially last year during the playoffs, that they're no longer a team to just push around, that they're going to compete. You know, you look out at the East, you have all the teams from New York, and I throw Buffalo in there because, you know, even though that most people think of the New York franchises, they think of the Rangers, the Islanders, and the Devils, which you have those teams that are going to be competitive. I think the Penguins are hungry to prove that they still belong in the conversation for the Stanley Cup. I think it's going to be a great year. I think it's going to be a very fun year, and one that hopefully, fingers crossed, is a safe one, you know, because of, indeed, we're still going to be dealing with this pandemic for a few more months, maybe for the rest of the year. Who knows? And yeah, so and
you've seen it in baseball when they started their season. It was rough. Football had it rough too. So, yeah, it did it right in the summer. So my feeling is as long as you don't have a couple of hotheads in there figuring like, ah, screw this, I'm going to go out and party. And, you know, if they keep it together, I think they should be all right.
I agree wholeheartedly. Well, Luke, do you have anything you'd like to plug or talk about real quick before we wrap things up?
Well, kind of same as last time. I'm almost ending. I've set up my little post-production company. So if anybody has anything they want to edit, podcast, mix, and all that stuff, check it out, podcastaudioservice.com, podcast audio service on Facebook. And I should have a Fiverr account up and running shortly if somebody wants to deal through a third party as far as payments and material goes. So, yeah, definitely check that out if you need some help. And I'm still working on that online class. And, I mean, who knew that setting up a class would be so long and so complicated?
The simplest things never go easy, do they? They never go as easy as you think.
Right now I'm thinking, you know what? I'm just going to open it up, have people on there, just ask me questions, I'll answer them, and then we'll be done. But setting up everything and the whole structure, and it's a bit longer than what I thought, but I'm still working on that, get that out there, and try to help people with that.
Cool, man. Well, I thank you for taking some time to sit down with me and chatting about the NHL, man. I appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure, man.
You got it. And we'll be talking in a few months probably when it is playoff time there come May.
Yeah. Again, that sounds so weird. If you want to have a playoff talk, you have it in April. If you have it in May, you're talking about the finals.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Luke Landry, talking about the 2021 NHL season. And real quickly, before I forget, if you are somebody that is
working on a podcast or you want to start a podcast and you have questions about like sound quality and audio levels and all that stuff, as you heard from Luke himself, he's got a company called Podcast Audio Service. Check him out online, podcastaudioservice.com. He'll answer all your questions and help you out if you're stuck with, you know, issues with audio or whatnot. He knows what he's doing. I can guarantee that. So again, check out podcastaudioservice.com. Now, maybe you want to complain to me about some of the things that I said about the NHL season. Maybe you think I'm way off base, or maybe you think I'm right on the money. Well, either way, you can interact with me and let me know what you're thinking about this episode. You can do that a couple different ways. First, you can shoot me an email if you want, you know, if you're old school. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is the website. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is the email address. You can also find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @pvdmvp. And you can leave me a message over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds @pvdcast. Now, maybe you want to let some folks know where they can hear the PVDcast. Well, there's a bunch of different options for that too. Probably the best is pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly. But it's also available through all of those major podcasting outlets such as Spotify, Stitcher Radio, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio. Basically, just go to your favorite podcasting platform, put PVDcast, sometimes you have to put my name after it, in the search engine, and you should be able to find it. And don't forget about the live broadcast of the PVDcast every single Monday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time through the Facebook page. And it's also available through the Scene Snobs Facebook page on Tuesday nights, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Two great ways to listen to the PVDcast. And once again, I got to say thank you, Mick Manhattan, for the opportunity. I really do appreciate it. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to close up shop. Thanks for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. And stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Been a production of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2021.